This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you all doing? Alhamdulillah. Before we begin, people often ask me a few questions after the lecture or things. Sometimes not even attached to the lecture. So one brother asked with regards to the pillars of Iman. Yesterday asked how many pillars of Iman. We said that Islam has five pillars. So in the famous hadith of Jibreel, where Jibreel asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, what is Islam? And the Prophet mentions the five pillars of Islam is to say that there is none worthy of worship, is to make salah, perform salah, to fast, to pay the zakah and perform hajj. That's the pillars of Islam. The pillars of Iman are six: to believe in Allah, to believe in His angels, to believe in the books of Allah, in the prophets of Allah, in the day of Qiyamah, and destiny. Qadr, that the good of it and the evil of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll discuss more on that issue of destiny. And what you see about these two things, Islam is the physical actions, the things that you do is Islam. Iman is the belief on the inside. And those two, they each have their own pillars. Five of Islam and six of Iman. So that is with regards to the pillars. And we said this surah, Surah Al-Kahf, will only be really be discussing the pillars of Iman. Because that is before you can have outwardly expression, before people make salah, before people give zakah and fast, they first need to believe in Allah. And that's why this entire surah focuses on theology, on Iman. There's another question people ask, how can we maximize our Ramadan? Are there any like Ramadan hacks or tips in Ramadan? One of them, subhanAllah, as we said, that if you stay with the Imam, the entire from Isha and Taraweeh and Witr Salah, then when he and you stay with the Jama'ah, then you are, it is written for you as if though you made the entire night Salah in from Isha or from Maghrib until Fajr. You get the entire night as you were standing in Salah. So it's a very easy way of getting the whole night in Salah. Also, for example, on the weekends, now that we've got some time, it is the Sunnah of the Prophet, peace be upon him, after Fajr, to stay in the spot that he made Fajr, and to wait until sunrise, about an hour and a half. So just before 8 o'clock, and if you do that, so it's about an hour and a half that you're sitting in the spot you made Fajr, the Prophet says the reward of that is a Hajj and Umrah, taman, 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 a complete Umrah and Hajj. So that 1 hour, so maybe you can't do that in the week, but maybe in the weekend, you can have the opportunity to do that. So a full Hajj given to you, Alhamdulillah, that's one of those easy things to do, inshallah. Back to our tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf. We were mentioning that Surah Al-Kahf has eight sections. We're discussing the first of the eight. And the first section, are the first 10 verses, which the Prophet said will protect you from Dajjal. These first 10 verses are a protection from Dajjal. Yesterday we were speaking about the warning that Allah gives to those who say that Allah has a son. And we spoke at length about how the modern scholars have linked up the oppression of the Christian clergy and the advent of Dajjal. When you look at the world that Dajjal will appear in, he will appear in a time when it is absolute, basically, you know, religion is thrown out the window. Where people live purely for the dunya. It's all about the life of this dunya, excessive living. There's going to be lots of technology and advancements, but very little consciousness, very little care for the akhirah. It's all about the dunya. People will have no more morality. You just do as you please. So the world, the secular world that we live in, is sort of a platform, and may Allah save us, for the coming of Dajjal. And many scholars blame the advent of secularism for the oppression of the church on Europe. As the church oppressed Europe and forced their doctrine on the people, when the people revolted, this gave rise to an anti-religious movement, secularism. So that's why Allah says that He warns those who say Allah has taken a son. Watch out what you're doing. This is going to have great consequences. And by extension also, when we talk about fitna, of the greatest causes of fitna are when ulama, the scholars, when they lie to their people. When the scholars and the people in charge, especially religious leaders, are misguided, this is when really fitna is able to take place. So Allah says, and they lied to their people. All they said was, they lied to their people, and the people followed them blindly. And this is the reason, one of the reasons for fitna. Now we conclude with the last ten verses of the first section. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا. This first thing is about fitna, tribulation. When we speak about fitna, what do you think? Give me some examples of tribulation. Somebody, some examples of tribulation. Of war. What else? Famine. What else? Disease, drought. All these things are hardship and negative, right? War, famine, disease, drought, all bad things. Allah says, we have made the beautiful things on this dunya a test. The real fitna is not hardship. It's the fitna of blessing that you must be worried about. Allah says, وَإِنَّا جَعَلْنَا we've made upon the earth, that which is on the earth, zina, beautiful. لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا to test them, who is going to be the best in actions. It is the comforts of life that is the bigger test. Not the drought. Yes, those are without a doubt, drought, famine, death, disease, that's a test. It's a different kind of test. So you have two types of tests. Test of ease and comfort and blessing, and the test of hardship. And without a doubt, by consensus, the test of comfort is far more difficult and dangerous than the test of hardship. For those who go through difficulty, someone has passed away, they're sick, they're struggling, all they need to do is make sabr. Just wait it out. Just be patient with Allah, and Allah will reward them. As for the comforts of our life, Allah is going to ask us, how did you use it? How did you earn it? What did you make do with it? And many a time we fall into that lifestyle of comfort. So Allah says, the real tests of this life are the beautiful things, the zina, the things that we spend all our energy and our efforts in acquiring and accumulating. And when Allah says, once we do all of that, look what Allah says in the next ayah, وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا but ultimately, we will make everything on this earth dead, barren. Everything will become dust. Everything I love, everything you love. Our bodies, our houses, our wealth, our children will become dust. Everything we investing our time and effort in will become dust. It will become barren. It will be of no use. Allah says, this is the test of life. This is really what everything is about. This entire dunya is about that. Allah says also in the previous ayah, زِينَةً لَهَا I have made the dunya beautiful for it. Meaning only for the dunya. It's not going to be beautiful for you in the akhirah. You will not take anything with you into the qabr. So as we think about this, as you entered this world, when we entered this world from the wombs of our mother, we were naked, we had nothing, we owned nothing. And when we die, we will go into the womb of the earth, naked, owning nothing, having nothing. As we started, we will end. Everything you accumulated will disappear from you. So Allah says, this is the test of life. لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا who of you are going to do the best in actions? Only your actions, your deeds, will last with you. That's the only thing that's going to survive. So that is the test of this dunya. Now Allah says, أَمْ حَسِبَتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّكِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا So Allah says, now remember, why did the surah get revealed? The Jews asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, about three questions. One of them was about the youth of the cave. That was the first question. So Allah now responds, أَمْ حَسِبَتَ Do they think, are they... Do they consider that the Ashab al-Kahf, that the people of the cave, wal-Raqim, and the inscription on the cave, كانوا من آياتنا عجبا, are of our stranger signs? Now the way Allah puts it is sort of like a rhetorical question. Are they really asking you about that? Is that what's impressing them, the people of the cave? Meaning, that's not so impressive. You know, the way Allah phrases, the ulama says, the first word of this verse is am. Am means awe. Or are they asking you about the people of the cave? Really, is that what's on their mind? Is that really what impresses them? That's not such an impressive thing. I've sent them a Quran that will keep them straight. That this is the miracle of miracles. But they want to know about that? Is that really what's impressive? Then let me tell you about them. إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ When the group of youth, Allah uses the word deliberately. I'm going to speak more about youth tomorrow, inshallah, because Allah uses this word twice. إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ When the fitya, not fitna, the fitya meaning young people, when the young people, the youth, they took refuge إِلَى الْكَهْفِ They ran away, they took shelter or protection in the cave. فَقَالُوا And they said, رَبَّنَا O our Lord, آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً Send, give us of your rahmah. وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا And facilitate, make easy our affairs and send us guidance. Make clear our way. Now this is the end of the first 10 verses of the surah. So how does this link with Dajjal? That's the question. Dajjal isn't mentioned in these 10 verses. If I just were to summarize quickly, it's Saturday night, inshallah, 5 more minutes we'll spend together. If we summarize the first 10 verses, we look at the whole. It begins by Allah saying that he has sent down a book that will never change. A book that will always point in the right direction. A book that you must stick to. If you hold on to it, like you're in that river that's pushing you down, in the middle of that river, there's this tree that can't be bumped over. That's the Quran. You cling to it, you'll be saved. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this Quran is warning you about a punishment and giving you the good news as a reward. You are between these two things. And then Allah says, I'm warning the ulama, the scholars, and in particular those scholars who say Allah has taken a son, you are lying to the people, you're deceiving them, and you are pushing the world into a fitna, a great catastrophe. Then Allah says, this whole dunya is a test. Life is a test. The good of it is a test, and the bad of it is a test. Hardship and ease, all of it is a test. Ultimately, it's all going to end, and you're going to go back to Allah, and Allah's going to judge you according to how you lived your life. So then Allah speaks about a kind of test, and how to respond. Allah will say, Allah's telling you, think about a group of people back in the day, a group of young youth, who were persecuted, and they ran away to a cave, and they made dua. Now what this is telling you, that in this surah we'll see a number of tests. Tests in your wealth, tests in power, tests in terms of knowledge. Some tests in our life are so big, some challenges are so big, that you can't fight it, you can't reason with it, all you can do is run from it. The only thing you can do is run from it. Dajjal is one of them. The Prophet ﷺ says, when you hear Dajjal has arrived, if he's in the east, run to the west. If he's in the west, run to the east. Don't face him, don't challenge him. There's some challenges that are so big, your iman cannot survive it. Now, let's take it to our daily life. Understand that there are certain jobs, certain friends, certain environments, certain communities, that if you put yourself inside of that, it will eat you alive. Your iman will not withstand it. That there are certain tribulations that our iman will not survive. So just keep your iman and run away. So Allah says that the youth found themselves in a situation like that, and all they could do is run, hide, and make dua. Dajjal will be a test like that. And throughout our life, most of the tests we have in our life, we can face it, we can fight it, we can even overcome it. Some of the challenges, however, and this is a personal thing you need to look at your life, can I withstand this test? Is this, you know, our people, our friends, our company, our jobs, the money we earn, is this a test for me? Is this something I can survive? Is my iman strong enough to handle it? If not, then one of the methodologies Allah is teaching us now, how to survive in times of fitna, extract yourself from it. Do not get involved. So you find, for example, these Facebook fights, Shia, Sunni, this group, that group, don't comment, just get out. Don't put yourself in there. Now you're accountable for what you say. With this great confusion and calamity, like Allah says, a time will come when there will be war, one group fighting, and perhaps we're living in that time, this country fighting, that country, that country, all of them claiming to be the truth, don't break your swords. Don't you get involved in that, because chances are you will be part of that fitna. You will ruin yourself in that. That when there's fitna happening, the one who is standing is better than the one who is walking and running. And the one who is sitting and lying down is better than the one who's standing. Meaning the one who puts himself out of the fitna is the safest. So this is the first lesson we learn, how to confront certain fitna, certain tribulations. Extract yourself from it. Don't put yourself in a situation. And remember, so this is not just magical, you know, you recite it and it's going to protect you from Dajjal. It's to reflect on this. So Allah ends by saying these 10 verses, remember the people of the cave, how they responded to the fitna. They ran away for protection and they made dua. So tomorrow, inshallah, we'll talk about what is their story, who were they, who are these 10, the sleepers, the people of the cave, why is the surah named after them? Allah will now explain their surah, their story in detail, inshallah. That will be our discussion tomorrow evening, inshallah. Any questions? Any questions with regards to Surah Kahf, any questions in general with regards to Ramadan? Alhamdulillah. Then our question for the evening, last night the question was, the Jews, who did they say, who did they mention was the son of Allah? So even some of them mentioned, they said Uzair is the son of Allah. As Allah mentions in the Quran, the Jews, some of them have said Allah had a son, wa'yadu billah, and they named him Uzair. Uzair, the son of Allah. Tonight's question, we said the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf will protect you from what? Will it protect you from jinn? Will it protect you from shaitan? Will it protect you from Dajjal? Will it protect you from Ya'juj and Ma'juj? Which of those things is a protection? For that's correct, but you write on a card. There's a card. I don't know if the cards are handed out. Cards haven't been handed out. Okay, I think at the table, inshallah, the cards will be there. So just fill out the cards. For those of us who are new to Burano, the sunnah is you answer the cards every night. We put it in a box and there's a lucky draw, inshallah. Don't worry, it's not a raffle. No money is involved. So there's only prizes. So it's halal. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.